So let us bow our heads to God before listening to His word. Let us pray. These are your words, O God. Humble us to speak their weight. Strengthen us to hear their truth. Unbind us to live their call. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, for the sake of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right. So let me begin with a simple question. So when was the last time you felt truly grateful for something? Not just a polite thank you in passing, but that deep sense of gratitude that stops you in your tracks and makes you want to tell someone, to share your joy with another person. Take a moment and think about it. When was the last time you say thank you, truly grateful for something? So George Jr. Fourth, when was your last time you felt truly grateful? You think a lot, right? A lot of things. Oh, all right, no worries. Yeah, I don't want to push you, yeah? So Ivor.
Yesterday?
What? Okay, all right, but you don't want to tell something. Okay, Jackie, how about you?
About 3 weeks ago when I came home from England,
mm-hmm.
For 5 days, and I saw the podiatrist,
mm.
and she was able to help me with my blisters on my feet.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Thank you for sharing this. Thank
That's
you.
Okay.
All right, and Horson, so how about you? So I asked the same question in St. Oba this morning, and then at the time my answer was, so when was the last time I felt truly grateful for something? Was marrying Hee-jung, my wife. So yeah, Hee-jung was so happy. So Harrison, I ask you again, so when was the last time to feel most grateful?
Actually, yesterday we went out, and then was very, very thankful that, as Ivan said, that we have a good meal,
mm-hmm.
good friends, and yeah.
Okay.
See, we're thankful on every day, but then again, there are some deep thank you that we have to give,
mm.
right, sometimes.
Mm.
Not similar
day, but
sorry.
No worries.
Of course,
definitely. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know.
I'm very grateful, not just thank you.
All right. Okay, last one is Molly. How about you? Dancing?
Yeah, we did well, yeah. But there's so many to thank.
Yeah.
One that really is so many.
Mm.
I'm thankful for.
All right. Thanks, Marlene. Mm. So, perhaps it was something small or profound. A friend's phone call at just the right time, or a beautiful sunset in the morning, not morning, in the evening, sorry. Or the smell of coffee on a quiet morning. I really enjoy this time every morning. And and maybe it was something profound, a diagnosis that came back clear, a relationship restored, or a prayer answered in ways you never expected. Whatever it was, hold onto that feeling as we explore today's scriptures together. In Luke 17, we encounter 10 men living in unimaginable isolation. These lepers stood at the margins of society, not by choice, but by decree. Ancient Jewish law required them to live outside the community, to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," whenever anyone approached, and to cover their faces in shame. They couldn't worship in the temple, embrace their children, or share a meal with their families. They were the forgotten ones, existing, but not truly living. Yet, Jesus noticed them. He always noticed those whom society preferred to ignore. When they cried out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," he didn't recoil in disgust. He didn't deliver a lengthy sermon about faith. He simply said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." Here's what's remarkable. Jesus didn't touch them, and he didn't pray over them. He just gave them an instruction that required faith to go to the priest who would verify their healing. That's really risky. Risky because they can't get in the city or temple because of their disease. So, if they try to get in the city, they would be killed. That means, if they are not healed until they got the city, they would be killed. They need really great faith. But interestingly, and all 10 obeyed. Can you imagine the courage that took? Walking toward the city, still bearing the marks of leprosy, trusting that somehow, somewhere along the way, things would change. And they did change. The text tells us they were cleansed as they went. All 10 experienced the miracle they had been desperate for. Their physical bodies were restored. They could return to their families, their communities, their lives. But only one, just only one, returned. Only one returned around, ran back to Jesus, threw himself at Jesus' feet and praised God with a loud voice. And here's the stunning detail Luke wants us to notice. This one was a Samaritan, someone who faced not just the stigma of leprosy, but also the prejudice of ethnic discrimination. The very one whom Jewish society would have discriminated became the example of what true faith looks like. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? It's a haunting question. 9 were healed physically, but missed something far more important. Only one received what Jesus called salvation. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well, or your faith has saved you. Throughout Luke's Gospel, Jesus uses these words, "Your faith has saved you," to indicate not just physical healing, but spiritual wholeness, restoration of relationship with God through salvation. They all experienced the same blessing, yet their reactions differed. The distinguishing factor was gratitude. Real faith doesn't stop at receiving. It completes itself in thankfulness. Now, let's have a look at Jeremiah 29, where God speaks to the Jewish people in Babylonian exile. They had been torn from their homeland, living as strangers in an enemy's land, longing for God to rescue them and return them home. But God's message through Jeremiah is surprising. Build a house and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. God was not calling them to passively wait for circumstances to change. He was calling them to actively pursue flourishing, even in difficulty, even in exile, even when surrounded by those who had conquered them. And woven into this calling was a promise. Jeremiah 29:11 saying, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So both passages teach us the same truth. In marginalized and difficult circumstances, God calls us not to wait passively, but to actively seek ways to thrive. The lepers who approached Jesus, like the exiles obeying God's word, took action in faith. But the Samaritan leper went one step further. He returned with thanksgiving. This story shows us the path to not only healing, but salvation, to spiritual wholeness, runs through gratitude. Not gratitude as a feeling we wait to experience, but gratitude as a deliberate choice we make, a practice we cultivate, an offering we bring to God. So let us examine our hearts. How often do we become emotionless to our blessings? We used to be grateful for the smallest thing, a meal shared, a roof overhead, the ability to gather and worship together, like today. But somehow we have forgotten. We've become so familiar to grace that we no longer recognize it as grace. Let me tell you something my dad shared with me. My dad was the minister of Korean Methodist Church. One day, my father visited a very sick church member. He was surprised to see that even though there was plenty of delicious food and water, the person couldn't eat or drink anything because he had no strength to eat and swallow. They kept getting weaker and weaker. So after that visit, my father started thanking God in every single prayer for being able to eat and swallow food. Until this day, he still prays like that. Thanks God to give the strength to eat and swallow the food. He prayed in every morning. He prayed this one. When you're tired from work, be thankful you have a job. Many people are still looking for work. When you're sick in the hospital, be thankful there's a place to get help. Some people have nowhere to go when they are sick. When you're unhappy about your food or clothes, be thankful you're not hungry or cold. Some people don't even have water and bread for tomorrow. When you're upset, no one listens to you. Be thankful you can speak freely. In some countries in the world, people are killed just for sharing their thoughts. When Sunday service feels boring, be thankful you have a place to worship, people to worship with, and the freedom to believe in God. Some people die simply because they believe. Like that Samaritan leper, let us turn back. Let us throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus and praise God with loud voices. Let us seek our reason to be thankful, even in difficulty, even in immigrant life, even when life hasn't turned out as we planned. You will discover many, many reasons to thank God and feel content. Because when we do, we discover what the Samaritan discovered, that thanksgiving is not just about acknowledging what we've received. It's the very path to salvation itself. It transforms not just our circumstances, but our souls. So I ask you again, when was the last time you said thank you, really said thank you to God? Today is perfect day to begin again. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, open our eyes to see your countless blessings. Like the grateful leper, may we return to you with thanksgiving, praising your holy name. Help us cultivate grateful hearts, not just today, but every day. Through gratitude, may we find true healing and salvation. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So we are going to sing, Give Thanks.